Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome in everybody to another episode of Believe in Tennessee Football. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurbison. This is back-to-back recordings, as you can tell by the same outfit that I have on, and Reed. What's great is Reed is with me here in Nashville, so we get a good amount of banter going back and forth. We're talking about Texas and Oklahoma trying to come over the SEC, what that means for the SEC, what that means for college football, what that means for Tennessee, and everything in between. We also break down a little camp schedule, what that actually looks like as a player, what you have to go through in camp, the mental and physical aspect of it. It's not something that you want to go through, honestly. And finish with a little bit of questions. Just a great podcast overall. So let's jump into it.
By the game. Snap. The kick is in the air, and the kick this time is no, sir, Reed. No, sir, Reed. Final score: Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
Loads up, fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught by Tennessee.
Tennessee wins!
Caught it by Tennessee, Jawan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch in the end zone on the Hail Mary.
Down at the 35, to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. What did he do? All he did was score. Joey Pitts, touchdown on play number one.
All right, so before we jump into the podcast, got to shout out our presenting sponsor, as always, betonline.ag. You know it, I've said it, every podcast, it's the place to go for any of your betting on any sport, anything out there. They got all the news, the stats, the odds that you were looking for. Heck, they got stuff on gold medal things that are going on in the Olympics, baseball that's in full swing, golf, everything. So if you know you're looking to bet on anything, that's the place to go. So you sign up online or use your mobile device and get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So that's betonline.ag. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to betonline.ag today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, welcome in, everybody. As you can tell, we're wearing the exact same outfits as last week because we're hard workers and we record two in one night. Yeah. There was just so much stuff that happened this past week with SEC Media Day, with all of the news coming out about teams joining the SEC. We had to split it into two, okay?
Yes.
We almost thought about switching outfits just to make it a little different.
Yeah, we don't know if everyone else would appreciate it, but it's hilarious if you wear exactly what I'm wearing, I wear exactly what you're wearing, and we switch sides and we just act like it's a totally different night.
Yeah.
No, so we rotate. Sometimes we do during the week, sometimes we do weekends, and we were going to do last Thursday because yes. I was going to be out of town this past weekend, and your rooms were taken.
Rooms were taken.
So I was like, I'm going to be in Nashville for work anyways. I was like, I'll just come do it with you. Or you mentioned that because you're like, I've been wanting to do that. Together. Let's do it. So it worked out good.
Yeah,
it worked out good. But since we're here, we're going to just go ahead and
backloading a little bit. Yeah. But don't be mad. Okay? It's okay. Yeah. We're still going to be very entertaining.
Yes.
It might be 2 weeks old information, but it's still going to be entertaining.
Yeah, good point.
The SEC has 40 teams now. What are you guys talking about? So it's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
So that's what we're getting into, though. And yes. I know, and I'm gonna let you run off on this because I know you've been very excited to talk about it. So OU in Texas. Matter of fact, if we had recorded last week, it would just been rumors. And now it sounds like it's definitely going to be a done deal.
And it looks like it's going to happen in 2022 or 3.
Correct.
It's when they can officially buy out
yes.
their Big 12 contract or whatever.
Not wait till 2025.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on real quick, though.
Okay.
Before you get going, it was cracking me up. I was listening to it, and I'm like, well, they're going to have to pay like $75 million to break their thing. And I was like, whoa.
$75
million? Not Texas and OU having to come up with $75
million. Not the team who has their own network.
Oh, yeah. $75 million. But anyways. So.
The booster's like, I fart that. Yeah, exactly. I literally shit that out in my toilet if you want that.
Yeah, just come on. It's out there. You can get it.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. I just want to start off by doing this.
Horns down.
Suck it. I mean, get over yourself. That is not an insult. It is part of the game.
It's just good college fun. It's like when we hit the Gator Chomp.
It's like when Pierce Price was it's part of the game. It's being petty. It's what people enjoy about the game. Yeah. It's the Titans and the Ravens stomping on their logos.
I got pissed about that.
Obviously. But it's part of the game. It's what makes it enjoyable. Like, I loved Rashawn Golden flipping off the Alabama fans when he got a pick six.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's a penalty, but it was incredible.
And we were getting killed anyways. Like, what do I care? It does look classless, but then again, like, at that age, we're younger. Like, yeah, you weren't on the team anymore.
It was a year after. Yeah.
We were getting killed, and I was just like, Rashawn Golden, I loved him at UT. I was like, I thought he was such a good player. And I was like, at first, why'd you do that? And I was like, who cares, bro? Just like, tell him how
we're losing by 30.
Tell him how we're all feeling.
Exactly how every single UT player, coach,
fan,
utility staff, training staff, fan,
just suck one.
Just suck one, man. Yeah. Like, you freaking, I hate you so much. It was perfect. And like, to take that away, a horns down,
are they saying that they can't do that?
They're saying they're going to penalize you for doing that.
Oh, because
it's going to officially be a penalty.
Because it's taunting, I bet. And so you can't taunt, I guess, is what it is.
But
they would probably flag if a UT guy drilled, like, say, if we had a safety come up and just absolutely de-cleat somebody and stood over him and do that. They would penalize that too.
Yes, perhaps.
But you'll still see horns down, like, at the end of games. Like,
it's happened before where we scored versus Florida and one of our players.
Oh yeah, John Kelly did it. It was kind of sick. Yeah.
And there's no problem because it's really just clapping in a certain way. And but there's no problem.
Yeah, and he didn't do it towards another player.
No, he did it towards the fans because that's the thing that annoys, you know, who you're trying to get annoyed is the fans.
Correct.
So,
correct. Sorry, we just had someone walk in. I was going to have to freaking knock them out.
It happens sometimes because this is a public space. I just choose to use it. But
they don't want the smoke.
No, definitely not.
But, we'll see. I don't know. I mean,
here's my thing. The first game where it's decided on the last play. Why not?
Yeah.
They're going to penalize you after the game's over?
Well, that's what I was saying.
Finish it in overtime or decide on the last play?
When you're walking off, you can do it if you want.
All day long. All day long.
Okay. Go ahead before I jump into all this. So how do you feel about them coming to the SEC? How do you feel like it affects Tennessee, the SEC, OU, Texas, all of it?
Listen, I'm on the fence a little bit because I'm like, hey, good luck. This is like literally the toughest conference out there. Y'all are going to buzzsaw, like, it's no joke. I think that more now than I did before, but there was the years when Texas A&M and Missouri got here where it was like, Missouri's in the SEC championship. You know what I mean? Texas A&M is beating Alabama with Johnny Manziel. Like, they just got here, yet they're having this success. I see Oklahoma doing that, but not Texas. I think Texas is in the same boat as Tennessee is in the SEC, as Michigan is in the Big Ten. It's like, what have you done for me lately? Like, you're such a good, like, overall historic program, but you've fallen off. You're trying to get back. And it will be so much easier in the Big 12 than it will be in the SEC for Texas. I mean, it's like, so much easier. Now, here's an interesting part too. What does that do for resumes of these teams? If Texas and OU are in the SEC, we got to split it up a totally different way. They're talking about Bama coming over the East, and I'm like,
oh, geez.
Hey, honestly, We have to play him every year anyway, so it doesn't matter for us.
It doesn't matter, but still, I'm so sick of that garbage. Like, I'm so sick. I wish we didn't have to play Bama every year. It's so stupid. Like, I'm done with the rivalry until Saban retires, and we can bring it back.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to play him while Saban's there. It's so stupid. It's just, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough scheduling. But, you know, if they come over, and then it's like, okay, who are you going to put in the college football playoffs? Are you going to put Clemson in the top four seeds when you have 4 1-loss teams in the SEC?
Yeah, but won't, by the time they're here, if it's 2000 or 2022 or 2023, won't we have...
We'll have an expansion, but Clemson and Ohio State might not get a number four spot again in the top four again. They might, like, literally might not get in the top four again because you could have two teams on the East, two teams on the West with one loss. And like one of each plays each other in SEC championship. So you have four SEC schools. One has two losses because they lost the SEC championship. The other have one loss or zero losses to the SEC championship winner. And those can be the top four spots easily. Because it's like, Ohio State, who the hell have you played? Guess who Oklahoma played who has one loss? They played Georgia, they played Florida, they played LSU, they played Bama. And Bama and LSU both have one loss.
How do you feel like it's going to affect UT, the real UT?
Exactly, the real UT.
Well,
I mean, our school was founded before the state of Texas. Yeah. I really don't know. I hope it expands our recruiting. Now, people are saying it would expand Texas and Oklahoma's recruiting. They're already trying to get guys in the South, but no one is reaching into Texas. Like, a lot of these Southeastern schools don't have the capacity to reach into Texas and get guys out because Texas and Texas A&M and Oklahoma and TCU and Baylor, they have a hold on. There's so many schools right there that have a hold on Texas, and it is tough. Now, we'll get a few guys that come to the SEC. I'm not going to say that, but... Now it opens up, and it's like, well, you come. We're going to play Texas. You can see, like, your family can see that game easily.
Yeah.
You're going to have to come out anyways for SEC school. Like, that's where the dynamic is. It might give us a look, like, SEC schools be able to dive into Texas because that was always so closed off. Like, Texas wasn't even reaching out to guys and, you know, the northern states or in the southern states because they had Texas.
So,
and they could go out to California if they wanted to.
Yeah. I'll say this. So I've thought about this a lot. At first, my knee-jerk reaction was like, you guys are idiots. Like, you should stay in the Big 12 or Big 10 or whatever it is. What is it, the Big 12?
It's Big 12.
But they have 10 teams.
Well, yeah, they have 10 teams, and now the Big 10 has 11, I think.
Oh, what did I say, Big 10? Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah, okay, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking about my points. But, yeah, Big 12, I get it. There's a Big 10. But so, yeah, stay in the Big 12. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, every year, oh, you both have a chance. If you just beat the other one, you're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, Oklahoma hasn't done anything when they've been in the playoffs.
No.
So,
I don't know how moving to the SEC would help their chances in the playoffs.
Because the thing is about when we talk about recruiting, I mean, each year these schools only bring in 23 to 25 guys.
Yeah.
So it's like they're probably still going to be able to handpick a lot of the people they want.
Yes.
I do think it will probably help them to be able to say, you're going to come play in the SEC, the best conference. And the thing about the SEC being the best conference is, and I know people can argue, well, you guys say that you're the best conference because you guys win national championships, but really it's just Alabama every year. It's like, yeah, I get that. But I'm talking about the NFL draft. Every year for the past, like, 5 years, 10 years, 8 years, whatever it really is, like, all the most players come from SEC schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny that, like, even, like, the random, like, defensive players that come from, like, Mississippi State or, like, Missouri or, you know, like, a South Carolina. Like, when those schools are even down a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I remember because obviously I'm a huge Titans fan, like when Jeffrey Simmons came from Mississippi State, and that year they had him. I think they had Jonathan Abram. They had Willie Gay Jr., I think. Yeah. Like, they had all these good players.
Yeah.
That's actually when Bob Shoup was there, the defense coordinator, had a pretty good year. But it's like, even those guys like that, like...
Guys come out of Kentucky. Bud Dupree.
Yeah, Kentucky's like, had what? A lot of... Kentucky's had a couple guys pretty highly drafted this year.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I look at the NFL draft, and so I do think it's going to help. I honestly feel like it's almost going to be kind of a wash. Because it's like... Now, the money, obviously, that's why this is happening. Yes. Because money rules everything, and those guys want a part of the TV deal for the SEC, so that's fine. So they're going to have more money to not only booster up the football team and those facilities and the coaching salaries and all that more, they are going to be able to put that money, because we all know, like, the football teams make all the money for the universities.
Yes.
And provide for those other
sports. Yeah, exactly.
For the other sports.
The reason the other sports can survive.
Correct. So any university is going to be looking to make any more money they can, because it puts more money in, you know, the president's pockets. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, being Greg Sankey has to be incredible. I don't know how his salary is based, but if it's anything like some sort of a profit share or whatever, which I'm guessing it is, like the better money, the better TV deals the SEC signs for, he makes more money, whatever. The guy is going to be pulling in bukus of money.
Yes.
So that's who I'd really want to be in all this, but... No, like, I think Oklahoma's, like, they're going to come here. It's obviously going to be harder competition, but then it does expand their recruiting, because it's like, hey, you can now come play in the SEC.
Yes.
Compared to playing the Big 12, win a Big 12 championship, have Lincoln Riley kind of spin it, oh, we're Big 12 champs, this is a good conference, and then show up and get beat by 30 in the playoff. You know, so it's like, you're still going to have to come and win. And now for Texas, they're going to have so much money, but, like, they've always had so much money. And like I said, I have a really good buddy who's a massive Texas fan, like a diehard Texas fan. He's locked into it and like lives and breathes.
Did you talk to him about this?
Every possession. We've talked a little bit about it, and I haven't really gotten his full. Like he's not about it. Like he's not excited for it.
No.
He wants to rather stay in the Big 12 because he gets it. He's like, you know, we kind of haven't made in the Big 12. Like I don't want to have to deal with that.
You're going to get beat up,
right?
In the SEC,
correct. And it's like, and here's the thing that ultimately really doesn't matter. Nothing's going to change in the SEC until Saban's gone. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, as long as Saban's there, it's his conference. And so when he leaves, that's when Oklahoma can maybe...
It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, it is going to be very exciting. But that's when maybe Oklahoma takes over. Maybe if Texas... Texas is like, they can be good when they just get the right guy. Because they have all the other resources. And I think that's probably why it is so frustrating as a Texas fan, because money's not an issue, resources aren't an issue, talent is not an issue. They can get pretty much anybody they want. So it's like someone just has to put it together.
Yeah.
But like I've watched a lot of their games because of my buddy, and it's like every time I watch them, I'm just like not impressed by anything. Like they're in a dogfight with, you know, Kansas State. You know what I mean? And losing games.
Yeah.
So I think it's gonna be kind of tough for them. And like I said, they're gonna get more money and they can recruit to the SEC now. But then again, like the competition is more. So I think it's just kind of a wash. Yeah. Now, how it affects Tennessee, I think it just kind of sucks. I mean, Oklahoma's really good.
Yeah,
I think it's more competition. Yeah, it's more competition for us. And like I said, nothing's really going to change until Saban's gone. And it's like, hopefully at that time, hopefully we still have Heupel, because that means he's doing well.
Yeah.
You know, and then when Heupel's gone, I think it's – I mean, when Saban's gone, I think it's going to be really fun to watch. Because then you'll have, you know, a Lincoln Riley, if he's still there – You know, you'll have a Dan Mullen, you'll have a Kirby Smart, you'll have
Lane.
Yeah, if Lane's still around. And you'll have, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, you know, everyone knows Bama's here. And some of these teams are coming up.
Yeah.
And sometimes they do beat them. But I feel like when Saban's gone and everything's back to here, it's like every year could kind of be...
It could be anybody.
Correct.
Anybody.
I would not be surprised if Georgia does it one year, if Alabama does, I mean, if Auburn does it one year, if Missouri somehow... Like, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I just feel like it'd be really fun to watch.
Literally, the only teams I would be surprised is...
Vandy. Maybe South Carolina.
And Kentucky.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I know they've had their ten-win seasons, but I just, like... In my head, memory of Kentucky, it's like they're never going to...
I know.
They're never going to get the SEC championship.
I know.
Like,
I
have they ever been? I'm sure they have, like, way back when. Actually,
I don't think they have.
But, like, it's incomprehensible.
Or maybe...
That blue and white is going to be up there. Maybe, that's not Florida.
Maybe I heard... Have you ever heard a stat that I think the only team that hasn't been to an SEC championship I think is Ole Miss, which is kind of awesome because I don't like Ole Miss. My spending my time in Memphis or in, yeah, living in Memphis,
yeah,
like
paying all those recruits and they didn't get anything. Yeah,
Ole Miss is just pretty tough. Yeah. TUFF tough, but yeah, I don't know. This college football landscape has just really changed, you know, with NIL, and that hasn't changed as much as I thought it would be. It's kind of like almost worked out in a good way.
Well, because it's very kinda individualized.
Yeah, and it's worked out in a good way. Like the Bama quarterback,
that's they said great, he made like $1 million.
I know, and he's never even played. So it's kind of good though because it's like that's probably who should be making the money anyways. It's like, hey, that's a good recruiting pitch for Bama because they're like, yo, you might not even be good. You might lose your spot halfway through the year, but you're going to make bank before you get in. You're going to have a great opportunity because the brand's so big.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, with NIL and then whatever's about to happen with these conferences and the expanded playoffs, like, I'm fine with all the changes. Like, you know, after it all changes and then you get 3 or 4 years, like, hell, we're not even going to remember what it was like before anyways. That's how life is.
And it's, like I said, so individualized. It's like you have to put in work to get yourself out there to sell yourself to everyone. Like, you have to do it. Like, the teams are not going to.
You have to play.
Bump your social media. Like, yeah. You have to play. You have to reach out. You have to put in effort. Like, that's why when people are famous off of like YouTube or Instagram or something like that, it's like, making content, they have to continuously make content and do that stuff. It's like, yeah, Jake Paul and Logan Paul might be douchebags, but they are putting work in to be to be in the limelight.
Yeah. I was literally just talking about this yesterday with my girlfriend, and we were like, she's always like, it would just be so awesome kind of have that lifestyle. I'm like, I mean, yeah, I guess, but I was like, these people put in work. Like, you put in work to make content, and like, if I go on a vacation and it's like I want to be a travel blogger and like, oh, I'm here this week and this is what I'm doing, it's like I don't even know if I get to even live in the moment and enjoy the relationship.
There's no time off of your phone.
Right.
There's no time.
And I hate being on my phone. Like I say it all the time on here. The only reason I'm on Twitter really is because of this podcast.
Yeah.
If not, like that's, I don't have Facebook. I don't have Instagram. Like, I don't want that stuff. I don't want it to be a part of my life. Like, I just don't feel like I need that. I don't want to always just be here on my phone. It's like, that's what I told her. I'm like, like, it would be exhausting going to places.
Yes.
Because instead of enjoying it, I'd have to be, like, taking a picture, worrying about what we're going to talk about or blog about or do a recording. If it doesn't good, like, do another recording. Like, yeah, it's probably a good problem to have, you know, but, like you said, like, these players are going to have to produce on the field or they're going to have to be putting out content and they're going to have to be doing different stuff. And ultimately, in college football, you're going to have to be a good player or somehow become a fan favorite by not being a player or, like, maybe, like, playing a little
bit. Being, like, funny or being very attractive.
Correct.
Like,
that's
the only other avenue that you have.
If you're not good.
Yeah, if you're not a good player. Like, that's it.
Yeah, so, but it's just, I mean, it'll be wild. It'll be wild to see, like, that Texas and OU are in the SEC. But, like, you know, whatever, I still just don't want to overreact to it because, in a way, like, it's still Bama's conference and when Saban's gone, we'll see what the landscape of it looks like then. Because I think he's still, unfortunately, I think he's still going to be around a while. And then we'll see what happens. But, like, just because Texas gets more money, like, great. They already have more money than they need. They got to get a good coach in.
One thing that I'm thinking about, just, like, as we're talking, is, like I said, having multiple SEC teams in the playoffs and having those top four spots. I was excited for the expansion so that the UCFs, the FIUs, the just random teams.
Boise State when they
the
had
Boise
their years.
Boise State.
Yeah, BYU.
Cincinnati.
Coastal, Cincy,
goes undefeated. Yeah. It can get that 7 or 8 spot and then, like, compete with it. Like, it does scare me that if they're coming in, they'll overload the SEC. And then it's like, you get 4 teams from the SEC, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, and you have 1 spot left.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not even. They put in Michigan or Penn State
Don't let that bother you anyways, because even if Oklahoma and Texas are still in the Big 12, they're still going to take up 2 spots anyways.
Well, they wouldn't. I don't –
what I'm saying?
Yes.
So instead of 4,
don't you think the SEC would give them a bump? Like, because you played in the SEC and this is your record versus because you played the Big 12 and this is your record?
Maybe not. I just think, no. I still think... I don't know.
Because if they're in the SEC and you look at the Big 10 and you look at the ACC
I think Big 12 went from literally having Oklahoma and maybe one other team get in a 12-teamer to now they're probably not going to have any. And now they're just going to be from the SEC.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't think it necessarily changes. What I'm trying to say is I don't think it's going to maybe hold out the quote-unquote little guy. I just don't think so.
I think it... I'm concerned that it will because it bumps the other good teams in the other conferences back a spot. Like, the value of a two-loss team in this SEC versus an undefeated team in ACC or Big Ten.
Okay.
Is almost the same. Because it's like,
so we'll say
they had to go through this SEC.
So we're going to say Oklahoma has two losses, but Oklahoma State's undefeated. And you might think that like Oklahoma State wouldn't get an opportunity.
Oklahoma State would be a 6 seed while Oklahoma's a 5 seed. And that makes it to where Coastal Carolina is 9th.
Okay.
And doesn't get in.
Yeah.
But if they're a 2-loss team in the Big 12 and Oklahoma State won the Big 12, they're not getting in. Like, they're not getting in as a 2-loss team in the Big 12.
I am fired up, man, for the playoffs. I know people are poo-pooing it and saying, well, it doesn't matter.
I love it.
I know.
I wish it would go even further.
I know. Wait, 12? Is that what it is? No, I like 12. I don't want to go more than that, but I like it because, and I know people are saying, well, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be the Final Four of Bama and Clemson and Ohio State and whoever else. Like, yeah, that might be the case.
But there might be one.
But if there's one upset, and it might not be that they win the championship.
But they knock off one of those 4 seeds.
But if they knock off, but say if Coastal Carolina does play an Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's a 4. Well, hell, yeah, great. Bama added another championship. Sweet. But guess what we remembered about 2024? Coastal Carolina beat Oklahoma, and they were an 18-point dog.
It's the Fiesta Bowl, Boise State versus Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Like, that's what you want to see.
Yeah, matter of fact.
That game will go down in history, always. Yeah. People always look back in the Statue of Liberty, the hook and ladder. Yes. Like you remember that stuff.
That was probably 2008.
I think so.
So I remember that game. I don't probably even remember maybe who even won the national championship 2008.
No.
But I remember that game.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, like, don't poo-poo this because, like, there's still going to be some really awesome games that we remember forever. And that are going to be, like, life changers for some of these kids and program changers.
Yes.
You know, if Cincinnati gets in there and, you know, upsets a Georgia, you know, or whatever, I mean... Which didn't they play last year? And it was a really good game.
Well, yeah, and also, like, you get a ring for making it further in the playoffs right now. Like, you get a ring for making it to the semifinals, and then you get a ring for winning the national championship.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So it's like they could. Cincinnati's like, we won our conference, and we got a ring from the playoffs. Yeah. Like it. That would mean a lot as a player.
Yeah, agreed.
Just being
agreed.
Like, I got a quarterfinals ring, or I got a semifinal ring.
Yeah, agreed.
From the playoffs.
And probably a lot of these guys that maybe never played or didn't do anything in that, or maybe there's some people that do, but they're not thinking. They're like, oh, bam, I'm just going to win another championship. Like, yeah, but like you said, it's going to have something that those players have forever and remember that forever.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Well, now, I want to talk about, because you're seeing this, like, 20-team SEC crap that's coming out, that, like, apparently they had reached out to Florida State and Ohio State and some of those other teams.
Well, that's the case. I hope
now,
Tennessee just leaves.
Now, that might just be a rumor completely. Yeah. But if that were to ever happen, that's where it's like, okay, so it's just the SEC and everyone else.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
It's like FCS and what's the other one? FBS or whatever.
Yeah,
like it's
one, like 1A and 1AA.
Yeah, like it's like two different things. It's not even the same. And it's like almost to the point where SEC, it's like, hey, bring on 5 more and tell the NCAA to go screw themselves and just do it yourself.
Well, NCAA is going to have to go screw themselves anyways because it's just going to be. I mean, these guys that are just going to be in such power, position of power, is going to be, if you're the commissioner of the SEC, the Big Ten.
Could you imagine? Yeah. I mean, Greg Sankey, if the SEC had 20 teams in it, how much power he would have over the NCAA?
Well, yeah, he would. He already now has more power probably than NCAA. The NCAA is about to be probably done with.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see if those other teams happen. But as a Tennessee fan, all I care about is how it affects Tennessee. And right now, I just, whatever, we still got to get through Bama. So what the hell do I care about Oklahoma and
it's like, Texas? I don't know. Like, obviously Oklahoma is tough, but, like, I envision Texas' difficulty of game as, like, Missouri.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, like, or but, Mississippi State.
Yeah, agreed. That's now. But in 3 years from now, if, like I said, if Texas ever hires the right person...
If they take
they
off.
They could be Bama. Because, like I said, they have the infrastructure. It just all depends. If they ever got the right coach. You know who would be...
And you know what they would probably do is hire from within the SEC a coordinator.
Yeah, you know it would be deadly.
Well, they have freaking... Steve Sarkisian. Now, I mean, he was a freaking great coach.
I think he could potentially be Tom Herman 2.0. But I'm going to tell you who I would be terrified, and he's one of my favorite coaches of all time, is Chris Peterson. But if that guy ever came back and ever took over a Texas SEC team, I mean, that would be scary. Scary. I loved him. I know it maybe didn't work out at Washington like people expected, but like I have so much respect for that guy.
Yeah, I think you had said that on a previous podcast too. And I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
And you were just like, bro, what he did at Washington, like the fact that
he was at BYU beforehand.
Yeah.
I just love that guy. He would be like one of those that could be like a sleeping giant type deal. Any other further comments on this OU Texas stuff?
No, I think I've gotten it all out.
Yeah. it's money. They want, but it you yeah, know
everything. Everything's money, man.
Yeah, and they want more
it's
money.
All world
so
rules.
Yeah, and they want more money. So good for them. But like ultimately, like how much more money did Texas need anyways? So it's like they're still what they are.
Yeah.
So you know.
I agree.
Okay, one thing that you had sent me is this preseason camp schedule.
Yes.
So, and this just brings back absolute nightmares.
Nightmares. So, this went viral on Twitter. I saw a few guys that that I know, that I played with, that I coached while they were in high school, Brian Tucker, put it out there and be like, yep, like, this is it. If y'all really want to know what a schedule is like for a college football player in camp, here it is.
So... Once again, funny that we're talking about. I had no idea that you were sending me this or talking about this. So I guess it was this past weekend or last Friday. It was a hot day in Knoxville, and I'm still like trying to lose a little bit of weight. And I put a hoodie, and like I can work out in hoodies and sweatpants, and it's like 90 degrees out. It doesn't bother me. Like I like that because I'm not a big sweater anyways.
Yeah.
So I put this hoodie on and ran outside. It was a hot day, and. You know, ran a pretty good distance down and back in the neighborhood and then finished up with like 5 or 6 sprints. Just like wanted to get the heart pumping. And I came in and my mom was like, I went in and I was fine. Like I wasn't seeing stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like wasn't thinking about anywhere close to throwing up. Like I'm not pushing myself.
Pasa.
I need some air.
Like some water. Give me some water.
But so I wasn't even close to that. But I was just went in there and I was like laying on the ground and like talking to my mom and she's like, you all right? Did you overdo it? And I'm like, no, I didn't overdo it. I was like, I don't push myself like that anymore.
No.
And I was like, but man, it just really got me thinking. I was like, it's just that time of year. You can just smell in the air. And I'm like.
You can smell the heat.
I'm like, I'm 30 years old. Like, can I imagine being like a 30-year-old, like kind of old, kind of old in the NFL? And like just reporting to like my 8th or 9th, you know, and I'm just thinking, I'm like.
Body.
And I just think back to like being in high school at Catholic, and it was like the things that I always remember. Dead period was incredible. Those 2 weeks of dead period was incredible. But my goodness, the entire time in
that
the back,
week back,
the entire time in the back of your head, you couldn't enjoy it because you're like that conditioning test
on Monday, first day back,
it is going to be horrendous.
Horrendous,
and that gives anxiety like that people just don't understand. Like, if you didn't play it, you don't know. And this isn't, I'm just talking about in high school.
Yeah.
Like, you just, that is just a brutal. And then, like, and I love Chris Long's podcast. Greenlight Paw, and I always listen to it, and it's so funny because he always talks about it. Now, he played in the NFL for 12 years or whatever, so he's talking about it like, I can't imagine getting ready for camp.
Dude.
You know, in the NFL, but like, you had some time in the NFL. I played at Memphis for a year, and it was like, camp, bro. It's just like, it's honestly like, that camp that I did at Memphis was probably still one of the hardest things I've ever done.
It's the worst. Yeah. It is.
And there's nothing to prepare you for it. As a freshman. That's why so many people quit college football.
As a freshman, every single person has to do this. They lay in their bed,
yes,
second or third day, and think, do I want to do that? Like, is this for me?
Or you think about injuring yourself. I'm not joking. I'm not joking. Like, you literally think, is there a way I can fake an injury or I can legitimately injure myself?
Yeah.
And I thought I was going crazy just thinking that. I was like, bro, I would love a nice high ankle roll.
Give me 3 weeks out.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be incredible.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, that's crazy talk. And then I remember going back to Catholic one time for a game, and then I was talking to Coach Gasper, Scott Gasper, who was one of our coaches there, and he's the director of ops, I think, right now at West Virginia. And he played in college and then over in Europe or Arena League or whatever.
He'd been coaching for a while, too. Yeah. He coached at Hutchinson? No, it was Mississippi.
East Community College, East Mississippi Community College.
Yeah, he coached there, and I think he did some stuff at Indiana, too.
Yeah, he was at Indiana, and now he's at West Virginia, but it was so funny because I saw him, and he was still a Catholic at that time, and he saw him, he was like, you wanted to roll that ankle, didn't you? And I was like, wait, what? And he started laughing. I was like, wait, you serious? He's like, hell yeah. And so it was so funny that other people think that, but like, camp is just crazy. So anyways, you sent me this schedule. I'm going to read this schedule off to people. Like I said, some of you maybe played, some of you do know it, maybe you don't know it.
But you've heard it before.
But in that August of that year, when I went to camp at Memphis, and used to, and I don't know how it was at Tennessee, it used to, all those guys at Memphis under Tommy West were like, oh, well, we at least get Sundays completely off.
Yeah.
I'm like, bet. If I can make it to Sunday, drag my butt out of bed, go to Mass, say my thanks, and go home and lay in bed all day or play Xbox all day or whatever, I can do it. No. Tommy West is gone. Larry Porter's in. And that boy worked us like dogs. And so, anyways, this says start time 6 a.m.? Hell no. At Memphis, that air horn was going off at 5 a.m.
Yes.
You know, so this says 6 a.m., wake up, dining hall opens. Okay, so go down there, get your breakfast. 6:30, mandatory breakfast. 7.
So there is a strength coach at breakfast checking if you came in.
Correct.
If you don't,
yes,
major trouble.
Correct.
You're in the pit during practice, or you're doing extra running afterwards.
Yes.
You have to be there by 6:30.
Correct.
If you're there at 6:35,
bad. 6:30 and 30 seconds. Yeah, you're done.
You're screwed.
Yeah, you're done. And so, and that air horn goes off. Like,
it's the worst because you just went to bed at 11:30.
Yeah, and you feel like you're sleeping good. Like, you're just so out of it
because you're so tired.
And that air horn goes off and you're like, what the? You're just like, what?
What is happening?
Yeah, and then once you realize what it is, and like, they're like, let's go. I'm like, bro, the air horn was enough. Stop knocking on the door. And I'm like, of course, I'm saying that in my head to like our like 6'5", 270, who used to play like offensive line in the NFL. And I'm like, wanted to come out there swinging on him. And it's like, wake up. And so anyway, 6 a.m.
Also, if you don't wake up your roommate, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If your roommate's late, you're in trouble.
Correct, which is tough.
It's tough.
All right, so then where were we? 7 a.m., staff meeting. So 7:15, treatment, tape and dress. That was another thing I don't know how it was at UT. At Memphis, you had to tape your ankles, or you had to use an ankle brace.
Had to.
And I hated that crap because I did it for like, honestly, for like the first 3 days, I thought it was so swaggy.
Yeah.
I was like strutting in there, getting my ankles taped like I'm some like stud. And then after 3 days, I'm like, this sucks. It hurt. It's hurting my ankles.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys would fake tape their ankles. And if they got caught, then they were in big time trouble. Obviously, they didn't care about me. It's like some freshman. Going to be redshirt, like, will they really care about me? So I just stopped doing it.
It was required for us to. Yeah. And by the time I got done, I was taping everything.
Yeah.
I was taping my thumb. I
do think it makes it worse, though.
I had the knee braces. I had the ankle tape. I had elbow braces. I had everything.
Like, don't you think it made your ankles worse taping them, though? Like, you might have had good ankles, and then it just kind of makes them worse?
I never experienced like a lot of ankle rolls or anything like that. Like I was always fine, and I think I naturally have flexible ankles. Like there has been times where I've rolled my like, it's rolled underneath me, and I've been completely fine. So I think it's just like that because I remember my last year, every other offensive lineman had an ankle issue at one point during the year, and they were like, "What's going on? You're fine." Anyway,
it sounds bad, but I do like if I was a coach, I'd want all my fat boys, I'd want all my linemen to wear knee braces and ankle braces, just because you guys are the ones that are more likely to get rolled up on.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So then I don't have to worry about wearing them because I wasn't a big guy. Yeah. So like, and it might not have been fun for you guys. All right, so 7:15, like I said, treatment, tape, and dress. Then at 7:45, team meeting, special teams meeting. Okay.
So 7:45 is a team meeting. With Butch, we had to be there 15 minutes early. So that means you're in there.
15 minutes early?
Yes.
So what's the point
every team meeting.
So what's the point of a schedule?
No freaking idea, man. It's the dumbest shit ever.
It's so dumb. I hate that stuff. And 15 minutes is dramatic.
It's so long.
Just say, if do the Tom Coughlin. If you're on time, you're late. So just get there 30 seconds early, 45 seconds early, a minute early. Not 15 minutes. That's so stupid, Butch. That is so stupid. Like, 15 minutes? So you're telling me...
It's probably going to piss off, like, everybody watching... Who just now realized this? It's just being like, Butch is an idiot. People already think he's an idiot.
Yeah, Butch is an idiot. Yeah. Like, he actually was. Like, he really did. We always joke about this with my buddies. Butch, he climbed that mountain, and he was literally right here.
He was so close.
He was so close to being good. But when he fell...
It fell.
I mean, here's the mountain that he was almost there. When he fell, he catapulted to the bottom. I mean, it was insane.
It was worse than ever.
Yeah, it was. But anyways, like, that's so stupid. So, I hope you guys didn't have a schedule that said team meeting 7:45, when really it meant 7:30.
That's what it said.
Yeah,
the team meeting, whatever time it would be, you know, say it was, you know, during the season, team meeting's at 2:30, everyone's in there at 2:15.
That's stupid.
So, in that schedule,
7:45. Did y'all sit around and just have to wait?
Yes.
Yeah, so dumb.
So in that schedule, a 7:45 team meeting means 7:30. So
that means you literally
wake-ups at 6 to 7:30 is eating breakfast, taping, putting on your ankle braces, putting on your knee braces, putting on your pants, getting all your stuff out.
Yeah.
Like preparing for practice, taping your hands, taping your wrists. Because you have to do all that stuff before meetings.
Meetings, correct.
Which takes a long time, yes. Especially if you're wearing knee braces as an offensive lineman. It's rough.
Correct. All right, so then team meetings at 7:45. You got position meetings from 8 to 9. Transition, so if that's 15 minutes, go pee, get some waters, you know, whatever you need to do. Make it to the next room. Then you got special teams pre-practice at 9:15. Walkthrough at 9:20. Flex at 9:30. Practice at 9:40 till 11:40.
Yeah.
So nice little two-hour practice. Yeah, post practice.
So it is a 2 hour practice, as correct. I say, 9:40 to 11:40.
Correct.
But 9:15 is the first time where it says special teams out there.
Pre-practice.
So really, you're practicing from 9:15 until 11:40.
Correct, and that's if it ends at 11:40.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so then you have post practice, which they have in parentheses about 50 minutes. So that's to go shower, unchain or undress, shower, change. Then you got mandatory lunch. From 12:30,
which you have to check into.
Yeah, and then now this is a nice little break. So from 12:30 until 2:45, and then at 2:45 you have lift and meet, and then at 3:45 is lift and meet. So I'm assuming that's what we used to do, where we'd have like offense.
So 12:30 is when lunch starts.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's from 12:30 to 2:45. You're eating lunch as fast as possible, so you can nap. You can go nap until 2:45.
Correct. And there were some. I could not believe the people at Memphis that these guys, when lights were out at 10, and they were still like wanting to play FIFA, wanting to play 2K, and these idiots like during like every all I would do, and I've said this before, the month of August in 2010, I had no idea what was going on. Outside of the walls of my dorm room,
you don't.
The meeting rooms, or football practice. Like, people don't understand. Like, we could have had, like, the president of the United States could have been assassinated, and I wouldn't not have known.
No.
I'm not joking. People think I'm joking. Like, something major could have happened in this world, and we would not have known it. And if we had known it, it would have been, like, in passing.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? We wouldn't even have time to care about it because we have to go to practice.
Yeah.
I mean, if people don't get, like, you are in it. Like, at night, I would literally, I would take probably 12 minutes to talk on the phone. I think I've said this on here before. I take 12 minutes to talk on the phone. Call my mom. Talk to my mom and dad same time. You know, called one of them. Talk about them. Call my girlfriend at the time. Maybe texted a few buddies, and I was out.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. And that's for a month. We started October 4th, and then it went until, like, September 2nd or 3rd.
Yes.
It's insane. Okay, so back to this. So then, like Kyler said, you're going to eat, try to nap. Then you got to get over there for lift. And what they have lift/meat, and that's because probably half the team's lifting.
While Defense lifts, offense meets.
Correct.
Swap.
So then, and then after you do that, you got special teams meeting at 4:50.
You pray that you're not on special teams.
Correct.
So you don't have to be in that meeting.
Correct. Then you have transition from 5:20 to 5:30. Then you got walkthroughs from 5:30 to 6:30. Mandatory dinner. You got an hour and a half for mandatory dinner. Then you're back at team meetings at 8. Position meetings at 8:30.
I hope you guys are listening to how many meetings you have.
Correct. Correct.
You have an hour and a half before practice. You have an hour and a half.
Hold on. You have meetings all day except for
when you're lifting.
Lifting, practice itself, or eating. That's it. The rest of the day's meetings.
Yeah.
So for us it was from 5 a.m. till 10 p.m. For these people it's 6 a.m. it's 6 a.m. to 10. So anyway, so yeah, team meeting 8 o'clock, positions meeting 8:30, snack 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. So you get your snack. You know, we've talked about that on here before. Then there's a staff meeting. There's a staff meeting at 9:15, and then players are in their room at 10, lights out, 10:30.
Yeah.
And you do this every single day. For us, we did it
30 days.
Correct. Did you all have an off day? With Dooley or Butch?
I don't know. There was never a day where it was completely off.
Okay.
Like, there might have been a day team where building. We didn't practice, and we still met.
And worked out.
Worked out, and it wasn't the full day. And then maybe at the end of the day, instead of when our usual practice would be, it was a team building.
Yeah.
We went to the movie, went bowling.
Yeah, we did bowling.
Whatever, just something random like that.
Yeah.
I
think we did bowling one time in Memphis. Man, I was so young and just so, like, weak-minded and stuff, too. Like, I remember getting in a bus to go to, like, some bowling alley in Memphis. I'm like, I just want to go to my aunt and uncle's house, and I just want to sit there and, like, talk to my uncle or, like, just go play Xbox. Like, I don't want to be around these same guys.
I don't want to bowl right now.
It's just mentally,
It's also just, like, worn out mentally, physically. You're also, like, competing against all of these people all day, and there definitely does, like, become this, like, unavoidable divide between offense and defense.
Sure, absolutely.
That you can't, like, help because you're trying to beat them every day during practice.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're the last person I want to see right now. Like, you just beat me in a one-on-one. Like, I don't want to, like...
Yeah, hang out with you
right now. I want to hang out with you.
Yeah. I would love to do it for, like, a week at this age. Like, I would have liked to have done it for a week at the age of 28, 29, 30. Like, seriously, if I could just go to high
school. Just because of your knowledge?
Well, my knowledge and, like, yeah, I'm just way more mature, mentally tough. Like, just like, high school. I'm going to come, I'm going to do practice. Like, it's just like a, you know, it's like, I'm going to do it for like a week, bro. Don't worry about me. And just like, just let me sit in on stuff. But one thing, and I know you're going to love this when I say this, but the people don't get is the trying to stay awake during meetings.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, for us, it was like we had our, like, Nike dry fits and, like, our shorts, or you'd be wearing, like, your Nike dry fit and then, like, your pants, like, full pads.
Yes.
You don't have your pads on. And so you're sitting in a dark room. Lights are off for the film. It's probably cold in there, and you're just like this. And for some reason,
yeah,
me doing this, at that time, felt like I had just climbed in a king bed. With, like, the best sheets in the world. I literally thought I was a little chilly, and all I have is a little dry fit, and I just do this, and it felt amazing. But why do this when it just made me want to go?
Yeah.
Now, for
me. Bro, let me tell you something. Everybody does that.
Like, everyone.
Every former player who might watch this will say, oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that is.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what you do. Like, you just, you're in here. And the funny thing is, like I told you, just mentioned, like, I love working out now. In like, today I worked out in long pants. And I always do long pants and a long sleeve shirt or hoodie and leggings. Like, I love that. Like, yeah. I want to sweat. And so it's like, back then I'm like, why didn't I just, like, wear a long sleeve shirt? You know, I think it's swaggy anyways under the pads. But I don't know why I didn't do it. I would have loved to have had a hoodie on. But no, I'm in, like, some little baby dry fit. And I'm just, like, in there and just, like, you know, freezing, like, praying to get outside. But then you go outside and it's Memphis and it's the actual heat's 101.
It feels good for the first minute and a half.
Yeah.
Like, warming you up. Yeah. And then it's, like, I just moved two steps and I'm sweating.
Correct. And in Memphis it was, you know, it was, like, we practice at 2:30. And they're in the middle of the day. So it was literally like,
yes,
it's like
the hottest.
Yeah, it's like 103 degrees, but yet the heat index is like a 118.
That was the worst part. When during the season with Butch, we had team meeting at 2:30. Practice started at 4.
Yeah, we were.
4 is the hottest point of the day.
Yeah.
Not noon, where people are like, oh, yeah, because there's no shade. 4 is the hottest point of every day.
See, we had meetings until like 2:30, and I think our practice started at 2:30. And then I think when season started, maybe it was like 3. But yeah, you're just sitting in this cold, dark room. You're hearing the same coach going over and stuff. And especially if you're someone like me, like you're trying to learn and stuff. But then like when they're going over plays from practice, like
that you're not in?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I practice. But it's like when we get to my play, like he's probably going to spend a legit 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds of my play. He's probably going to watch it, be like, hey, Bake, this is what you need to do better. This is what you did okay. And he's going to move on. Like, I ain't seen the field that year. Like, so he's got to get to his other guy. So then I'm definitely disinterested. But I can't fall asleep because if I fall asleep, I mean, it's...
When you put yourself like this right now, does it make you tired?
No, I'm not
just tired. Just because of so many times.
No, I'm not tired. I'm not tired, but I can totally just like... Because I can pretty much sleep
anywhere.
I can pretty much sleep anywhere. Like I'm
doesn't matter.
I'm good. But like I like sleeping on the ground every once in a while. But like just being in those rooms, bro. Like bringing back that, it's just like people don't understand. Like that's why I'm so happy I played. Like I really, my goal was to play college.
Experience.
Yeah, my goal was to play college football, and I wanted to play it. And I can say I did it. But it's just like these things that I'll always remember forever. It's just like, bro, I couldn't imagine have done it for 5 years. And the funny thing is we all dream. I still daydream sometimes about like making it in the NFL and playing, like how awesome that would have been. But that stress, that internal stress you feel like, not being late to the facility, not being late to meetings, you know, how the pressure that we put on ourselves to be good during practice, the eye in the sky, knowing it's always watching, like those mental pressures. Bro, I've been working in a real job going on 6 years now. It's a fast-paced, real legit job. If you don't produce, you're gone, you know. But, like, and there's some very stressful times in that job, and there's some very whatever what I'm worried about. Like, bro, and it still never compared to any of that, like, it compared in a different way. Because, like, yeah. This is real life. Like, we have to work, pay our bills. Like,
yes.
I don't have a family yet, so yeah. It's a little bit easier for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not worried about a family and kids and all this stuff, so I'm not, like, super tied into, like, where I have to have this money. But, like, man, those, and these guys, man, like, where you were at, where you were, like, grinding and trying to make a team, and, like, you just don't know if when you're getting a call, like, it could be your last cut. I mean,
it's so stressful.
And pro sports and pro football and stuff, it's just like, it'd be the greatest job in the world, but it's just like, it's something like you just can't even describe.
Like, I had an internal dilemma, like, while I was doing it, like, I had a back injury previously, and it never felt great. Like, there are still days now where it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, God, man, it's hurting today.
Yeah.
Where I gotta, like, try and warm it up, try and do something to make it feel better. You know, other days are better. You know, I might have slept on it wrong. I mean, back then I was 50 pounds heavier. I'm practicing every day. Like,
yeah.
It did not feel good. In no day did it feel good. And I'm just trying to get myself to where it felt good enough and I could practice and be good. And, like, and that's something you're going through too. Like, I'm laying there stretching before practice, like, oh my God, my back freaking hurts. But no one cares.
No.
Like, no one cares that I'm hurting right now. Like, push through this and try and make this team.
It, like, during practice, or I mean during camp, like those stretches, like when you're when you finally get to lay on the ground and you're doing like the leg this way and the leg this way, you literally close your eyes and you're sweating and you hear the insects and you hear people breathing.
You hear the cicadas.
And you just sit there for like 2 seconds. You know, like, this is the best part of my day. And you're still just...
You're so happy practice is over.
No, I'm talking about even before practice, and you just get like 2 minutes just to lay there.
Just to lay there.
You're like, this is literally the best part of my day. I'm like, just breathe. And then all of a sudden, you hear the whistle, and it's just on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
The next two and a half hours are going to be shit.
It's just a grind.
Just...
Yeah. So horrible. That was cool, man. I'm glad that you brought that up. I like that you sent me that schedule.
I wanted to actually like break it down and like let people understand like it is so like the mental aspect of it too is just so much.
I think the mental might be worse than
I think it is. Physical. Sometimes. I think it is your freshman year.
Yeah.
I think it's because there's nothing like you experienced in any football you played before that. Now, as you've been in college longer, you can like start to get used to it, and
you know,
like,
you mentally prepare it right.
I know it's coming. Correct. I know it's coming.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'd been better my next year if I was able to mentally prepare for it.
Yes,
you know. So, okay. There's last thing before we jump off here. So we had some people who had hit us up with some questions. I know one of the questions is the exact same questions that people have asked me before, and so I love that that they had sent it to me. Or send it to us, but like, and I guess I already know the answer, but I'll go ahead and ask it for this fan that asked. But like, we're all fascinated by the like $100 handshakes and, you know, the McDonald's bags and what players and stuff like that. And yeah. I think they had a question of if you know of anybody, whether it was from Tennessee or during the recruiting process, because I know you didn't get offered anything. I asked you that already. Yeah. And I know that you would have told me if you had.
Yes.
So, and I know you didn't get offered anything, which you were a big time recruit, but they probably didn't feel like they necessarily maybe had to, like you maybe weren't like a blue chip. And also you.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. Like at the time I was part of a wealthier family, went to a private high school.
Correct.
And it was kind of like a, like, my family didn't want it. My stepdad and my mom was like, no, like, we're okay, kind of thing. Or it's just like, you don't need to pay us.
Yeah. So the actual question was, what's the wildest thing y'all saw a booster or coach try to get away with regarding a recruit? So I don't know if you, I mean.
Yeah, so I don't think I ever physically saw something. I mean, I heard stories of other guys that I played with that were recruits that would say, like, yeah, when I went to, I think it was like Alan Carson. He was my roommate at Tennessee. He was like, yeah, I went on a trip to, I feel like it was Ole Miss. He's like, yeah, I went on official to Ole Miss. And, you know, we went out Friday night, all this stuff. I went back to my hotel room, and I opened my door, and there's two girls in there.
So that's funny. That's funny you say that.
And it was just like two girls were in there, and I was like, for real? He's like, hell yeah.
Did he hook up with them?
Heck yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Two at the same time?
The same time.
That's what we call a good old-fashioned threesome, boys. Yeah.
Said he had a blast. But that stuff is like, obviously this is illegal.
And you believe him.
There's no reason he would lie.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, there's no reason he would lie to me. I was his roommate all freshman year. Like, it already happened.
He was a four-star, three-star,
one of those. It wasn't like two-star. No.
Yeah, but he was good. He wasn't great. But
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of girl do you have to be to do that, though? Jeez, get a grip of yourself.
I know, right? Just come on, man.
I mean,
that happens all over the place. And that's something where it's like, this isn't money.
Right.
Okay, this is sex.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I don't know what they give to the girls, but they could probably get girls to just do it for free because it's just like
jocks never paper chasing.
Exactly. So it's like, there's, it's just like, hey, you can go over there, do what you want.
It's funny you say this, and that would have probably been somewhat around the same time, but a former NFL, or a former Alabama quarterback that I can't stand, he's such a lame-o, definitely a silver spooner, he grew up very wealthy, he's on TV nowadays. Anyways, long story short, I can
probably guess.
Yeah, people know who he is. He's a super, super lame-o. Like, you see him on TV and on SEC Network and ESPN, and like, if y'all are fooled by thinking like, and let me say this, he might be mature now and a better guy now. When I was around him, dude was a super lame and a super fake. Like,
were you around him with the Hubers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I was gonna say to people on here was like, I dated a girl in high school, and her brother played at Alabama, and so I would go down there to some of the games and stuff, and just be around some of these people. And the only reason I'm bringing this stuff up is because the Ole Miss thing.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about when he went to Ole Miss, and he went to dinner or whatever, then he went to a movie with a girl, and then when he went back, he blatantly said that he, like, hooked up with her.
Yeah.
You know, and had sex with her. And so, and of course, like, he's a lame-o, bro. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I think he was a decent quarterback or whatever. I mean, a decent
recruit. Yeah.
But, like, he could have also been the type of guy that's saying that to sound cool.
Yeah, to sound cool.
So, and so, I don't know. I mean, I'm not worried about this getting back to the guy. Like, he's not going to watch this or listen to this or whatever. No. And if he did, like, I would
care. He'll deny it. Who gives a crap?
And I would care less. And that's fine. He can deny it. I remember exactly where I was sitting right when he said the story.
And I have this recording.
But no, I just remember exactly where I was sitting right when he was saying it, and there was adults in the room, and I'm just like, this is kind of awkward, bro. This is the adults in the room. Like, people don't want to hear about you, like, hitting a girl from behind, like, is what he was talking about. Like, he was just lame. But anyway, so, I mean, recruits and boosters, I mean, I guess the only thing that I would know is the story I've already told on the Big Orange Juice is where the guy from Pilot had paid for Tobias Harris.
Oh, yeah.
He paid $100,000 for Tobias Harris, or he said that's what he said. So that's probably the wildest thing I've seen a booster try to do.
Yeah, I remember hearing a rumor that – sorry about that. A little technical difficulties there. But, yeah, the recruiting stories. You said Tobias Harris. You've already done that one. I feel like I heard a rumor back in the day, like J.P. Prince, who was a basketball player for us, like – accepted $100,000 from somewhere else and then still came here.
You heard that
like as a rumor?
You heard that while you're on campus?
Yeah,
as a
while I was on campus.
So that was probably things of legend.
Yeah, that's probably things of legend where guys are like, oh yeah, he literally like accepted that from whatever school it was and then still just came to Tennessee.
That would probably be the most pissed I would be if I was like a booster or a higher up or a coach, dude. And I was like, all right, Kyler, I'll get you the $25,000. But, like, you got to come here. And you're like, I'm here. And I give you $25,000, and that cash is checked. And you're in, you know, you're in blue and white. You're in blue and white at Duke or something. And I just have to be like, wow, that $25,000, that pisses me off. But, yeah. Hey, it's big-time college football. So that was one of the questions that we had. So I wanted to make sure to ask that.
Was there any others?
So J.P. Prince, and then what was the other one that you just said? Oh, Alan Carson about the...
Yeah.
Is there any other ones that you can think of or remember?
Not really, because it was like, don't talk about it. You know, yeah. like...
Right.
If I'm asking, like, I seem like a narc. Like, what are you, a cop? Why are you asking?
I'm not a narc. What do you mean? Yeah. Like, you're not a narc? That sounds exactly like something a narc would say. Narc.
Exactly. Like, why are you asking me that?
Yeah.
Like, don't ask me about that.
Yeah. Which I love when they hit me that question up, because that was something I'd already asked you before.
Yes.
And then we've talked about what we think is the most important games of the year, which was a great conversation or a fun one to do.
That was good.
And then they were, you know, everyone just wants to know about in-state targets, stuff like that.
Which we talked about the last one, and we keep talking about. We'll continue to talk about that for sure.
Correct. Yeah. But really, that's pretty much all we had on that one. I will say, talking about the camp schedule, we said it once. We're going to say it again. We're going to publish it a bunch. We're definitely going to another camp.
Yep.
Or we're going to try to go to a practice day.
Yes.
And hopefully that'll be, I think, our biggest podcast to date was the one after our first one.
Yeah, so this one, huge.
And we're going to try to have a, I think, I can't remember if I said this off air to you or when we were on our recording the first pod, but I'm definitely going to go ahead and make our own Twitter handle and stuff like that for the podcast. So hopefully we can get some followers that way to try to brand the name before the season starts. Maybe we can try to do some giveaways, do some different interactive stuff. And we're never going to be the ones that break any news unless Kyler finds out something or I randomly find out something and we might put it out there. But that's just not...
Yeah, it's not what we're searching for.
Correct,
so it's like,
correct.
It's probably not going to happen.
We want to give you other stories. We want to be entertaining and, I guess, non-PC because we're not on the radio, so we don't have to...
Yeah, this is a podcast. Yeah, exactly. We don't have to be like that.
Correct.
We speak truthfully. Yeah, and I can't wait to go to that practice. We already talked about this off mic, but want to record directly after practice and to try and spend a day down there in Knoxville and get our immediate reactions, which would be great.
Practice, steal some more peanut butter and jellies and Gatorades, go straight to my house.
Literally eat them on camera while doing the podcast.
Thanks, Heibel. Like, yeah, so leave practice, go straight to the house and just record for 2 hours.
Yes.
You know, talk offense, defense, transfers. I mean, my gosh, we might make 3 podcasts.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, with all the guys that are there right now that weren't there before.
Oh, it's huge.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that. That'll be great. But thank you for coming in.
Love on me, big boy.
I love it. I love that you came in. I love that we were able to get both of these podcasts in.
Yeah.
As always, like, subscribe, rate, let all your friends and family know. Let everybody know what we got going on. Get in those comment sections. It helps with the algorithm on YouTube, if you believe that. If you ever have comments or questions, email believeintennesseefootball@gmail.com. Phone number, 865-322-9232. And we can answer some of those. As always, we're presented by betonline.ag. So if you're betting on any sports or anything out there, go over. Follow us on social media. Like Reed said, he's going to try and get a Twitter going for this podcast. But you can follow us individually at Kyler Kurbison, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and at rbacon26 on Twitter for Reed. So... that's it. As always, go Vols.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.